This is the first day of October, and it's just the beginning of a glorious autumn here. We have really been through it here. I'm telling you, we got trees that looked like they were in the dead of winter at the end of August, but and now it's strange because they're all putting out new leaves, and autumn is on the way. So sometimes life is strange, but even in its strangeness, it brings wonderful glory for us to contemplate. So I would just like to say welcome everyone, and also to thank our blessing givers who have been here every Sunday since the time of the hurricane to help move us along and to keep the blessings rolling, because that's just what makes life better. And I am actually going to have a little water, and in the meantime, I'm going to open the line so someone else can ask for a blessing. Someone from area code 780, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Desmond.
Oh, hi, Desmond. How are you?
I'm doing so good, and all your blessings through the years and all the inspiration through the years has, and especially, you know, Chris has been a great friend. You know, we talk about Yeshua, and I posted on Facebook group site today two quotes from Yeshua from The Heart's Higher Intelligence, Chapter 7 and Chapter 14, The Pathways to Success and The Love Without End.
Really? Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
And you're welcome. And I've been collecting so much art ever since that one class that we did. Maybe a couple of years ago. I've got, like, so much art. I just love collecting art so much.
For your storyboard.
Yeah, I'd love to send you this chapter of the Keys of Yeshua prayer and meditation. I did a beautiful representation of every word and tried to put an image to it. And I spent like 10 years reading that chapter like 1,000 times. And I spent like 3 years putting that chapter together with images. And yeah, I learned so much about it.
Well, you know, Desmond, so everyone else can understand what we're talking about, what he is doing is following my suggestion that came in a seminar some time ago, and it was how we can actually enhance our understanding of any subject, whether it's our study of each other, learning to know each other better, learning a language, or learning even mathematics, if we can find a picture. And it doesn't have to be an art picture. It could be something from a magazine. It could be something we doodle. It could be something we found on a postcard. It could be anything. But the reason is our soul thinks in pictures. And it actually helps to bring in more of the instant recognition of truth and understanding from a soul level. And so that's why the recommendation was made. And Desmond is just sharing with you the benefits that he got from it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So was there a blessing you wanted to ask for today, Desmond?
A blessing, yeah. We're having Thanksgiving a week early, and since I'm in Canada, we have Thanksgiving next week. Typically, we're just having it today, so.
Well, wonderful. Thanksgiving blessings to you, then. And thank you, Desmond, and thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, you as well, Glenda. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. All right. Now let's take a look and see who else is on the call. We have someone from area code 802, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Debbie in Vermont.
Hi, Debbie.
I would like to put someone's name on the prayer blessing list today.
Okay.
This is for Cindy Boyle, who family is gathering around, and she possibly may be making her transition very, very soon.
I see. Oh, okay. So Cindy is on the soul path upwards.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And I know that those who have loved her here will miss her greatly.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Gwenda.
You're so welcome. And Janet is on the call. Hi, Janet. You're on.
Gwenda, I just might have missed it, but I just wondered what happened with the man in Africa.
I'm going to send out a full letter to everyone. They paid their debt, avoided the penalty, and we're still trying to help them recover their household and set up their household, but the danger is over. We made it.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I knew how worried you were, and it just sounded...
Oh, my gosh. I was in tears every day because partly because I have been through a pathway that was almost leading to perdition myself. You know, we had it pretty bad here, and so when someone calls me, and they're really, really on the edge of disaster, I don't just sympathize anymore. I cry with them, and I know how serious it really is. So they are out of danger, and we are going to be sending an official thank you letter to everyone who contributed to their rescue with an update. And I was actually waiting to get some family pictures. I want to send them to you. So... thank you for asking.
And also, I wanted to thank the blessing givers for the time you weren't able to do the call, because that first Sunday they gave us an update that you were all right, and it was such a relief to know that. And it was just beautiful for them to keep the call going, you know, when you couldn't be there.
I was so proud of, I am so proud of our blessing givers, not only for interventions like that, but for being aware. I watched their communication between each other, and they're right up on global challenges and disasters or issues that are happening, important issues that affect the lives of all of us, and they're there. I am so proud of our blessing givers. Because what they are is ministers in spirit, really bringing the love of God and the guidance and healing assistance of Yeshua and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit into any and every situation for those that will receive. And they're doing great work. So I join you in that praise.
You can really feel it, you know, the night of your storm. I just felt so much the blessings and prayers going out, and it was beautiful.
Oh, I did too. I did too. And I would rather have felt that and be in the middle of a storm as to be anywhere else in this world. Really, it was
beautiful.
A privilege.
It was beautiful, and we're just all so happy that you made it.
I thank you. I did, and we're going to start reconstructing our property next week. We finally got our insurance settlement because we have a huge deductible on it, because, you know, insurance without a huge deductible is just almost prohibitive when you live in wind country. Now, it's not like that in the middle of the United States. You know, you can get reasonable insurance with maybe a $2,000 deductible. But here, oh, man, with the wind and the flood damage that happens so much on the coast, you have to have a savings account to go along with your insurance. But love is my savings account. it always carries me through. So I've got some contractors lined up. and some workmen lined up and a dump truck lined up, and that dump truck's going to be full. But I can't wait to get this stuff moved on and out and just get back to normal again. And, you know, while we're on the subject of the hurricane, it was such an incredible blessing for me. I could sit here and look out at the destruction, which was so enormous. For a while, until somebody came by with a friendly bulldozer and helped us out, there was this 100-year-old oak turned upside down with its roots laying on our roof. And the house across the street that had no roof, and the junk on the streets looked like the Middle East after a bombing. It was really bad, but everybody was so in love with everybody else. We came together as a community, as a community family, as friends that helped each other, and what one person could donate, they did, and what another person could donate, they did. And it's still continuing. I got a knock on my door yesterday from a gentleman who lives about five houses down from me, and he belongs to a church that owns and operates a little charity business on the main street of Aransas Pass. It's called the Blessing Shop. What an irony, the Blessing Shop. And they take contributions of all kinds, and they're like their own little Goodwill or Salvation Army or any whatnot shop like that. Well, their shop was just demolished, and all of their stuff was sitting out on the street. And he came by and he says, "Glenda, I notice you've got a barn, a really big barn. I don't think you're using it. Would you mind if we move the Blessing Shop there?" And I just started smiling from ear to ear, thinking, I just wonder who put that idea in his mind. So next week, the Blessing Shop in Aransas Pass is moving onto our property in our barn, which, interestingly enough, was not touched by the storm. It's a huge, it's a metal barn, which is 40 by 70 feet and tall enough to house an RV, you know, a full-size RV. So it's enormous, and it's clean and never been used, and it's on its own little piece of property, and it wasn't touched. Not even the fence didn't come down. And then here he comes and says, "Could we move the Blessing Shop there?" I'm just laughing inside. I'm going, okay, of course, the Blessing Shop can go in there.
It's amazing that they call it the Blessing Shop.
Isn't it? Isn't that sweet? So the serendipity just never stops. The coincidences never stop. The community is just building around me. Before the storm, I was friendly on hand-waving terms with everybody, but I didn't have any friends down here, really. Just the people that work for me. I have hundreds of friends all over the world, but most of my best friends live somewhere else. And now, I don't just have friends. I have family. I have coworkers. I have people all over the place. I have neighborhood kids that come in and want to swim in the pool, and I say, okay, as long as somebody appoints a lifeguard, you know. And so I wrote a piece about our next class, which we're going to have. And I really actually want to share that since I see Stormy's on the board. And Stormy, as always, we take you last because you're not least and because I know you're playing your music while we're talking. But so I'll just go ahead and talk about something that I think is a very important message. And it was really the central message of today anyway. And that is how catastrophe can be a blessing. It all depends on how we use it, how we allow God to use it through us, and how we allow it to transform our lives. On August 25th, I was sitting in terror and prayer with the thunder of the cosmos and trees and metal and roofs and flying objects banging on our house and hearing windows break and splashes of water come into the house. And I just huddled in prayer. For about it took about 5 hours for the eye of the storm to go over us. And we were actually in the eye of the storm. The eye was, they said, 20 miles wide. And we were right on the perimeter of it. We were about 8 miles out from the center. So we didn't get the full force. The full force hit Rockport. And oh my God, that town was demolished. It was the most beautiful little town on the South Texas coast. Really, I mean, it's where you would go if you were a tourist and you wanted to be more in a place like Maryland instead of South Texas. It was gorgeous. Well, it looked like a little bit like Malibu, a little bit like a town in South Florida. It was beautiful, flattened, I mean destroyed. So that's the difference that 8 miles made. And even 1 mile closer to Rockport from us, we had colonial mansions that had stood up for over 100 years that were flattened. They had been hit by hurricanes before, but never by the eye of a hurricane. There's something different about the eye of a hurricane. The winds move in every direction all at once and also vertically up and down because they're sucking water up into the stratosphere. That's really what it's like, a funnel that's sucking water up, and then they're going to hold it in the stratosphere and create literally a lake on high ground that's going to travel across country very slowly, about 8 miles an hour, and then 2 days later, going to drop it. Well, that's what happened to Houston. Houston got the drop. And we got the eye, and Houston got the drop. So that was the difference in our catastrophe. And I have to say, despite the terror involved in the noise and the wind, we got the better end of it because the flooding is so very, very dangerous and hard to deal with on a human level. But getting back to my story, getting back to what I wanted to share and say, and that is that as soon as dawn broke the next day, I looked out the window, and I didn't recognize a thing. It's like my whole world had changed. And it hadn't just changed in topography. It had changed in feeling. It had changed in the light around, the silence, the deadly silence, no movement. No car, no human being. We were completely abandoned. Those of us who stayed were warned we would have no support, no police support, no emergency support, no medical support, nothing. And, of course, everyone was afraid to come out of their house. So I ventured out and I walked around, and it was so quiet. And it was like I could feel that God had just come through the night before on a bulldozer. And I knew that life would never, ever be the same again. And then someone, a neighbor, saw me out. And so they came running over and asked me how I was. And I asked them how they were. And that was the beginning of our reconnection. But, of course, no one had power. No one had water. We had nothing. We started lighting up our gas grill. And some people, charcoal, a little charcoal pit in the ground to cook food in. And they had stored food. And, you know, we didn't even have the Coast Guard for a couple of days. No cell phone. Nothing. Nothing. It was like we were pioneers going across the American frontier, making camp and helping each other survive, helping each other get along the way and making life work. Now, in the days that followed, everything, like I said, everything changed for me. I didn't know what to do. Honestly, as a human being, I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't physically strong enough to even lift most of the tree limbs that were on the ground. But the surprising thing is that my soul knew everything to do. From the perspective of my soul, everything got done. Everyone I needed knocked on my door, or I knocked on their door. We started taking care of each other. We started inventorying. Well, what do you have? What do I have? Let's put it all together. Let's make it work. You see, I had thought, because of the work I do, and because of my connection with Yeshua, and because I'm a conduit for inspiration and blessings, I thought my soul was in charge. What a shock. I woke up that morning, and everything but my soul died. I was helpless. The I that had been here before. I might as well have stepped out of a coffin because I didn't know what to do. And my soul knew everything to do. This allowed me to still be in the world, but I didn't solve things in my usual way. It wasn't like going about getting out the tools and say, okay, I got out the tools, I've got this, I've got that. It's a good thing I filled up my car with gas before the storm, but I tried to drive and I couldn't get much further than my driveway because it was blocked with power poles and trees. I was even afraid to walk very far because the power lines were down. Some of them might be hot. You know, you really, really don't know how frail we are until you get to the point where the only aspect of you that can do anything is your soul. That's the only one, the only part of you that has the answers. And you could say, well, of course, God has the answer. Always, always, and I'm not distracting from that truth, but there has to be a link between God and our ability to receive the blessings of God, the solutions that God brings us. And I found on that day that link was something a whole lot more powerful than anything I had ever known before. It brought a new understanding. And I was thinking back on the quote in Psalms 49:3, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding." And I wondered, is this what it feels like right after you die, when the soul is completely free and the body can do nothing? I really, really had that thought, because my life as I'd known it had just died. And I thought about Confucius and something he said. He said, "You do not understand life. How can you understand death?" For a little moment there, I did. Because death is the playground of the soul. It's where the soul embraces again its freedom to make whole new choices about the way life will be, about how we want life to be. And the soul realizes that it can always make new choices. This is what we forget when we're in the world. Because when we're in the world, we see that one day is a consequence of another. And that day was the consequence of the day that came before it, and the day before it, and the day before it. And so we think that we are living those consequences. And to some degree we are, especially to the degree that we also make promises to other people. But the soul knows freedom, a greater freedom. And now I know why sometimes I have made some radical new decisions about life and didn't worry about it. Like, for example, when I finally gave in and said to God, "Okay, I'll paint that portrait. I have no idea what will come from it, but I know you do, and I'm willing to do it." Or like when I responded to Yeshua, he wanted me to speak to an audience, and I desperately did not want to, and I said, "Okay, all right, I trust you. I'll do it. I know you know what you're doing. I'm scared to death, but I know it'll be okay." You know, when I decided to move down here from Sedona, Arizona, to the south coast of Texas, I knew this was hurricane territory. I knew I was moving down to a part of the world where I had no pre-existing close friend. Not one. But I knew I was supposed to do it. And I said, "Okay, I don't know why, but I'm going to do it." The one thing that was comforting is I live just 20 miles from Corpus Christi, which means body of Christ. So I knew that had some profound significance. Now, Yeshua was, he told his apostles in a lot of different ways to remember that they were not, that they were in the world but not of the world. That's quoted a lot of times by a lot of people, including myself, as if it was said just this way. I am in the world, but not of the world. He didn't quite exactly say it like that. It had a bigger meaning to it, and I never before understood the bigger meaning. We're going to go over that in our class, because that bigger meaning is the soul is never really in the world. It's just there for us always, allowing us to do work in the world. And he more explicitly described that when he was talking to the apostles at one time. He said, "You will go and do work in the world, and you will be with people in the world, but remember, your soul is not of the world." So that little, you know, sometimes a little change in meaning, we don't get the importance of until it's all been revealed And there are so many things now I remember he's taught me that say something so much more now than they ever did. So the question is, how can we get the soul to manage our life when the demands of our life are so filled with story, predicament, challenge, and consequence? That is one thing coming from another. And the soul just sees none of that. I really believe this is why we don't count on our soul's greater wisdom and guidance more, because we think, well, our soul's going to think all of this is trivial. But it's not trivial to me. So what we allow to happen is a little bit of a fracture between ourself and the soul. We think, well, our soul is all free, yes, that's great and good, and it lives forever. But I'm facing foreclosure. Come on, I need some help. And I'm thinking to my soul, yeah, well, you've got it made. You live in heaven. What would you care? You know, I think that separation between ourself and our soul may be the root form of separation we really, really have in life. Because on that day, when I walked out the morning after the storm, that separation did not exist for me. And it hasn't existed for me since. And that's when I developed so much compassion for people in dire need who have lost their connection with the power of the soul and the power it can bring to save and heal their life. Pardon me, just a minute. Gonna get a drink. When Yeshua said that all you need is the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Hold on. That's about all you need in the way of food. Pardon me for just one more minute. That's about as much food as you need to give your soul. Just give it a little faith for food. And say, come on, be with me. Take me with you. Let me do things your way. I trust you. In the midst of worldly demands, we forget this so easy. In the world, one event leads to another, and each determines how we qualify for success or tribulations. But in the landscape of our soul and on the path it travels, that's just not a factor. Our soul has all the answers, and they may come in forms we wouldn't have predicted that are simply not consequential. The soul just allows the right opportunity to happen and for us to discover it. So what do we do and how do we do this? Where is the key that unlocks that door? Well, the first thing to find is the door itself. We may have been staring at a wall thinking it was the door. And I'm in full agreement with the Course in Miracles on that point, because I think most of us are staring at a wall thinking it's the door. And the Course in Miracles says basically everything you're looking at is an illusion. Well, I don't think everything in God's creation is an illusion, but most of what we're looking at is. First, our illusions must be dropped, like veils hiding the light of heaven. And then once we find the door, it opens easily. There's a famous quote from Richard Bach, you know, from Jonathan Seagull. Okay. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. All they show is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know and you'll see the way to fly. I love that quote. I love that quote. And I also love a very similar quote from Galileo. All truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them. And last of all, from Yeshua, which we're going to look at in great depth in lesson two of our new webinar. By the way, the new webinar is called What If Your Soul Was in Charge of Your Life? It's going to run between October 15th and November 5th. I'm going to send a new link, a new mailing. I think the link that went along with our sunset meditation somehow got corrupted or misdirected, and I'm not sure how that happened. So I'm going to send a link out this afternoon so you can watch for it. So the quote I was going to say from Yeshua, it's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. To which I would add, only your soul has the wisdom to know that. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now, that we have thought about the breadth of God's blessing, how we can find blessings in anything and everything, if we look for the soul's connection, it is our soul that makes the connection for us in anything, in any catastrophe, in any situation, to bring in God's blessing. But since we can't always see that or make that connection, Yeshua has taught me, and I then in turn, our blessing givers, how to be that link for you to get you better in a harmonic resonance with your soul connection. How to be that human link that takes you past the void through which you separated from your soul into the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we do on Sundays in the blessing. And it's time for that right now. I hope I've inspired you with my story. And I know that you will find a great revelation and healing in our new webinar. That is my present to all of you in my recovered knowledge from what I went through, because I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it is impossible for the soul to be in charge of your life. I think we're at the point where that's exactly what's about to happen. That is exactly what's going to follow the tribulations that were forecast, because that's exactly what happened for me after I went through my tribulation. There I was, me, myself, and I. Me, myself, my soul, and God, and no separation, with only silence between us and love, and instinctive awareness of simply what to do. The tribulations are not over, my friends. And we may not go through them collectively all at the same time. But I think we will go through them collectively within a period of time. And they have started for many people. And they're not finished. This may be the most important study you have ever made, because you'll be ready for dawn to happen when the tribulation is over, and you'll know how to weather the storm without falling into fear. So let's offer a blessing, and every Sunday we will continue, and every Sunday after that we will continue in our love and our care of one another. So just be seated. Be ready to receive. That's all you need to do. And Stormy, I know you're there. Thank you for the music, and play your music, for it too is a blessing. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for holding each level of wisdom until we are ready to understand, access it, and use it. Thank you for holding each blessing until we are ready to receive it. For we know that each and every blessing has already been given since the beginning of time, waiting for us to be ready, waiting for us to finish our last adventure, our final challenge of faith, our final surrender of ego, our final acknowledgement that there is no power in separation. There is nothing to be found in separation. Only in union do we find power, do we find peace, do we find grace. Only in love of one another and in our love of God do we find fulfillment. And so it is. We ask that that be our ultimate blessing, the very commandments you gave us, to be the realization of our heart, mind, and soul united as one with one another, as one with you, the Holy Spirit, and our Heavenly Father. Amen. Blessing givers, if you will now join me, we will offer the blessing together. I'm in. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and just absorb like a little sponge, but don't think about it. Just receive. You're very loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.